Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we talk about new Cranky Anchors calls I've been doing, and Sheck's going to join us for some lively conversation. First, I'll tell you about BetterHelp. Overwhelmed, anxious, depressed? Yes, many are. BetterHelp Online, licensed professional counselors who are trained to listen and help. I'm telling you, therapy is so important, especially now, but in life, you get yourself straight, you get your head straight, and then you can go out and tackle the world. If you don't, well, good luck to you. Anxiety, grief, depression, relationship conflicts, difficulty sleeping, anger, family conflicts, self-esteem, and more, that can handle it all. Fill out a questionnaire that assesses your needs. Get matched in under 48 hours. Easily schedule secure video or phone session, plus exchange unlimited messages. Everything shared is confidential. It's BetterHelp. Right, Dawson?
BetterHelp is an affordable option, and our listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code Corolla. Get started today at BetterHelp.com/Corolla. That's Better, BetterHelp.com/Corolla. Talk to a therapist online and get help. Back inside the toolbox, where it's time for a history lesson. In medieval times, it was traditional for a condemned man to stop at a pub on his way to the gallows to get a few drinks in him to loosen him up for the appointment with the hangman. Hence the phrase, one more for the road. This stop would signal the beginning of a tragic end, and it's fitting that a few years before Skinner released this, they let a live album go called One More from the Road. Did this signal the beginning of the end of Skinner? Right now, we're in the middle of another superset of the 70s hits. We pull one from the ironically named Street Survivors record. We're low on fuel and coming in for a crash landing, folks, so put your hands in the air and enjoy the ride. Greenville to Baton Rouge, shut your mouth and get on the plane. You're tuned to Lynyrd Skynyrd on the Toolbox. Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dave Damashek, with Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, he concedes nothing. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Hey, I like football.
Dave Damashek. All right, so we'll talk to him about some football and all things culture as
Mr.
well.
Mr. Frusenglaja himself.
Mr. Frusenglaja. Does that still exist?
I've never seen it.
Yeah. Well,
did it ever exist?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Frusenglaja?
Frusenglaja.
Oh, yeah.
It existed more as a bit than it did as an ice cream.
Yeah, but just like hockey players' names, he couldn't make them up. They had
That's
to.
True.
It had to exist. All right, so stuff to get to. First off,
nothing, but I don't know. Are you guys with me that the people that pick up the phone at the restaurant don't seem to know what's going on inside of the restaurant? So,
you tell.
I was ordering food the other day, and I saw Pokey Tacos, and it sounded interesting to me. Nice. It was the second thing on the list, the appetizer, Pokey Taco. So the gal answered the phone. And I said, the Pokey Taco, does that come with a corn tortilla or flour tortilla? And of course she said, I don't know. But I don't know why everyone doesn't know. It's
the menu isn't infinite. There's a finite number of items.
And this isn't the Cheesecake Factory. There's like 11 items on the entire thing. And Pokey Tacos is at the top.
Wait, question. Just out of curiosity, this wasn't a Mexican restaurant, was it? This is like a sushi place?
No, it was kind of a beach place. Oh, so
I bet they come in a wonton shell.
I said, that's right. I said, I don't know enough about Pokey Tacos. I said, is it flour or is it corn? She said, let me check. And then she came back and she said, wonton. And I thought, I don't know. I feel like when people order tacos, they oftentimes ask, is it this or is it that? Sure. And once you get the wonton, well, then you just say wonton, but you'd have to know that in advance or you'd have to care. So I passed on the Pokey Taco.
Oh,
but you guys know my thing of here's what I picture in my head. So that I slid down and I said, ooh, I'll get the calamari. And I love calamari. It's weird. I don't like squid. Is it octopus or squid?
It's squid.
Squid. I'm not
calamari.
Not a squid guy, but I love calamari because the reason I love calamari is because the squid to deep fried batter ratio is just right. You know, it's not too much. Mm-hmm. Not too much squid.
I would never, like most people, I assume you like the rings as opposed to like the squid head or whatever.
Yes, I said.
How'd you guess?
Well, again,
some people are adventurous. I prefer the rings.
I just have a snapshot in my head of when I order calamari and I picture myself at a traditional Italian restaurant. Mm. All those rings show up and you just dip them. So I order the calamari instead of the Pokey Tacos. And the calamari, again, they don't do that thing I always want them to do, which is I want them to say, I hope you're not planning on eating calamari. Like, I hope
it wasn't.
Whatever's in your head, that's not, you're not getting what's in your head. You know what I'm
calamari
saying?
Calamari fritti, the fried calamari, is 85% of the calamari you find in restaurants. I'm assuming that's what you wanted and expected.
I got the rubbery squid legs with way too much breading on them.
Oh, no, with a little curly Q tail at the end?
No, not even that. Just literally 4 inches of rubbery squid leg with too much breading, and there's like 8 of them in the thing. And it's like, again, I want them to say, this is not calamari as you know it, as you picture it, or whatever's in your head, that's not what's going to show up in this bag.
So, to that point, Conway on the show the other night had a hissy fit because he's a taquito guy because he's 4 years old. And
oh my
he went
God,
and got,
he's an adult who eats taquitos.
He can't. There's no shame. There's no shaming him out of taquitos. That's a side point. Mm. But he freaked out because he always gets taquitos. And he went to a Mexican place and he ordered chicken taquitos. And it came with potatoes inside the taquito with chickens like just ladled on top.
Right.
And he went back and said, I'm sorry, I ordered the taquitos. And he said the phrase that pays. This is how we do chicken taquitos.
Right.
And I said, I can't wait to tell Adam that.
Right. That's how they do it. Like at the, there's a restaurant at the Hard Rock. When you order Huevos Rancheros, you get a breakfast burrito. And that's how they do Huevos Rancheros. By the way, chicken taquitos, I forgot, was one of the many frozen offerings from my childhood. They had this weird guac paste that you would heat up, and then these frozen taquitos, and you dip them in the guac paste.
I'm shocked that your mom allowed frozen taquitos.
Well, here's
I guess being a Chicano studies
major.
Well, here's the whole thing with my mom. You got to be consistent. She was a health food nut. She was also committed to not burning calories for her family. So she loved health food, but she hated cooking.
Right.
So we would get the Stouffer's Salisbury steak and all the other poison that they served up because my mom didn't want to cook, but then would be preaching about health food while we were eating the Salisbury steak. Yes,
ironically,
Brian.
She didn't want to burn calories with that high calorie TV dinner.
Yeah, seriously. The restaurant phenomenon we're honing in on, which we've talked about before, is a little bit of an adjacent rich man, poor man. Because in like, you know, there's the, you know, this is how we do taquitos. This is how we do whatever, you know, fried calamari or whatever. And then the high end places, Gene, I'm sure you've come across this. They have deconstructed.
Yeah,
this is our deconstructed Caesar salad. It's like, yes. I just want a fucking Caesar salad.
That's right. That's a great point.
Well, you have
to encounter this, the deconstructed things. It's kind of clever, but at the same time, it's like, I really want like a, I don't know, a souffle or whatever.
But you have to think about the jumping off point, which is when you say you went to taquitos, or when you say you went calamari, or when you say you want a Caesar salad, you want a Caesar salad. You don't want their version of it. Nobody wants their version of it. You just want that thing you've ordered. And so thus, they're always going to be wrong because you ordered it. All right.
Especially with the staples, like a Caesar salad is a staple. Taquitos, you know, or certain restaurants are a staple.
Hey, I don't want to freak you guys out, but do you remember that whole, it wasn't even like a wives tale, like playground thing. Like they did some hard investigation on it. Like This American Life did a whole thing on it. And the end was like unclear. And Slate's talked about it. Do you remember if that whole thing was, if calamari is real calamari or if it's pig rectum?
Oh, really? I do not remember that.
You don't? Oh, no. They did an investigative report and undecided by the end of it.
Oh, well, dear. Pig rectum would have been a step toward the light for me, number one. Number two, when you deep fry something in like the calamari, but when you deep fry it in the tempura stuff, you can do a golf ball. It's going to be awesome. All right. It was funny because I was talking to someone about the Tom Cruise helmet from Top Gun. Then somebody pulled it out of their phone, the guy I was talking to, and said it's sold in England for $327,000 in change. But I said, well, Gina was saying it wasn't for sale yet. So yeah. I don't know if that was another helmet.
It was November 23rd, unless I'm mixing up auctions.
Well, this. So, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, that's about right. It says 250,000 euros, which equals to your amount, Adam. And this article is from the end of August this year. So I'll have to look in to see if maybe there were two different helmets that are going up for auction this year.
Well, that
is it possible someone would flip it that fast?
It's possible. Yeah, sure. But at least we know it sold for about $330.
All right.
Also, there's another Newman Joanne Woodward engraved watch that's going soon too, which could be another $18 million coming up, just for those who may want to check their sofa for change. Although the first one sold for like $18.7 million, which was a Newman Rolex Daytona, and it had it was engraved by Joanne Woodward and given to Paul. But there was no talk about the second one. So wouldn't you be kind of pissed if you bought the first one and then you found out a year later there was, in fact, a second Rolex that was engraved and it was going for sale too?
$18 million because it's a one-off, I imagine.
Yeah, you'd think so, but it's a two-off. And speaking of off, I was watching Face Off last night.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because it was on TV. And because I have a TV. Those are the two reasons I watch Face Off.
Perfect synergy.
Yes. And as you know, my favorite part of any movie is when there's something in the plot that would just never happen in real life. And
face transplant?
Yeah. The face. Well, the part where the brother's suspicious. Like I said, I always pick out these weird little pieces. Like I remember watching Robert Urich's Vegas in 1979 when I was babysitting, and he was in one of the casinos. He was like in the Caesars Casino or something like that. And over the page it said paging Dan Tana, and one hot chick turned to the other hot chick and went, "Who's Dantana?" And the other chick went, "You don't know Dantana?" Which was a good excuse for us as the audience to learn that all the hot chicks basically knew who Dantana was. But who would ever ask somebody at an airport or at a casino who the person who was being paged next to? You would never. We've all heard a lot of pages. No one's ever turned to the person next to him and went, "Who's
George
Vince
Smith?
DiGiacomo?"
Who the hell is that?
Yeah, like, why would the person next to him know who that person was? But I do like those scenes. And so in Face Off, one of my favorite scenes is when Nick Cage has the face. Well, it's Travolta, but he has Nick Cage's face, and then he goes into the prison, and then he runs into his brother, and his brother is suspicious. Again, I have a sister. I've seen her many times, not in a prison setting per se, but she's never been suspicious that I was somebody else.
Like, you body know? Snatched.
Yeah, it seems... I understand in the story they've switched faces, but why would the brother be suspicious? But the brother was suspicious. And so we asked him what medication he was on all those years with a sort of raised eyebrow. But there was a part that I missed after all these years during that whole part. And I don't know if you've found that scene, Max Zapata, but the brother... is suspicious that Nick Cage is really Nick Cage, even though it's Nick Cage and it's his brother. And he wants to know why he's not himself. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. By the way, so this could mean you were irregular in front of your brother or sister, and they could become suspicious because you didn't feel yourself. But he gets suspicious, and he actually pokes him in the face. Like, as if he
trying to pull his face off.
Yeah, I'll show you the scene, and I forgot the part where he physically pokes him. I'm hoping that was an actor making a decision. Do you have it, Max Pata?
It's a creative choice.
All right. So he's talking to another prison bird.
Not feeling very coordinated lately, are you?
A little suspicious about Nick Cage.
Look, bro, you gotta help me. I am so fried. The psychos in here find out I'm misfiring, we're both going to be dead meat.
Suspicious.
Shock treatment.
What's the matter with you? Did they operate?
He pokes him in the face.
Oh, Jesus, you're still so freaking paranoid. Aren't they giving you your medication in here?
What was my medication?
Oh, you don't trust him.
Uh-oh.
Just got to think about it.
Hollux, I hand-fed you those pills for years. Vivex. I haven't forgotten that. It's just everything else.
All right. The point is are face transplants a common occurrence?
No.
Because why would you poke him in the face and go, "Would you have an operation?"
He goes full Three Stooges on him.
This is the most intuitive brother on the planet.
Yeah, this guy's a mastermind.
Yeah.
He poked him in the face and wanted to know if he had an operation. Now, we, as the audience, understand he did have an operation, but once again, why would the brother even have a shadow of a doubt it wasn't his brother?
And how long was the brother in prison? Like, how new was face transplant technology at that point?
I don't even know. It's unclear whether this technology even existed before they had their, you know, they may have been the canaries in the face transplant coal mine. You have info on the helmet, Max Pata?
Yeah, so weirdly this year, two different helmet, the same helmet style, but two different helmets from Top Gun were being auctioned. At the end of August, Prop Store Auction auctioned off Maverick's helmet, and inside of it says, in Sharpie, says Maverick number one, and then the words Top Gun. And that one was estimated to be between $50,000 to $70,000, and the winning bid was $260,000.
Well, 260 euro.
Oh, sorry. No, 260. This is dollars. So
sorry.
Yeah, maybe without the VIG and everything, right, it goes up higher. And then Julian's is the one that Gina was reporting. They are also selling a helmet, but this one, if you look closely at the description, it says one of several production-made fighter pilots created for use in filming by Tom Cruise, and Cruise is seen wearing this style of helmet.
Ooh.
Style.
And if you look inside, it says Maverick number 2. And the other one has a lot more wear than this one. So I imagine that the number 1 helmet was the one that Tom actually wore.
Oh, okay.
It was the backup.
Yeah, so the number 1 helmet's gonna,
number 2.
Going to go for more. I did my first crank yanker session on Friday out of here. And I was kind of wondering how it would work with the post-COVID world. And
is it Zoom or is it still over the phone?
You don't want anyone to see you.
It's for me, it's over the phone. For the crew, it's Zoom. So I'm communicating with everybody via Zoom, but just dialing these businesses up.
And businesses are there to pick up, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's more. They stayed on longer and talked more than I can ever remember. So there's a lot of good stuff there, but they seem to hang longer, and maybe it's this COVID stuff. I don't know.
What can you tell us? Like what kind of businesses or where in the country you called?
I called MMA gyms. I called equipment rental places. Let's see. I called some bookstores. I called some doll stores. They're all stayed on in an exquisitely long amount of time.
Kalen was listening in his office to the 3 hours of calls that you were doing, and he says that he was just cracking up the entire time, just nonstop.
Yeah, they were good. Like, Kalen, did you think they were good?
Oh, they were amazing. And like you said, I was just amazed at how long these people were staying on the phone for. There's one example in particular. I don't want to, spoil it, but I was amazed at how long they were just sticking on the phone with you for.
I was saying crazy things, and they wouldn't hang up. But I got to tell you, it's interesting. So during, you think about the sort of audience, no audience, late night talk shows and things of that nature, and everyone's doing the Zoom and everything like that. I had Matt Fondelier was kind of running the board, so to speak. And he was sitting where Dawson was sitting. And I was looking at him through the window. And every time I made a joke, I would watch him and I would see him laugh. And it completely energized me. Like, some stuff was better than others. And some stuff was a big laugh. And other stuff is who knows if it's funny or whatever it is. But watching him laugh completely energize me. Like it also let me know, like, okay, maybe this has gone on long enough, or that one didn't work, or whatever it was. But there is something, even when you're sitting in a studio alone, as I was, and everyone was on Zoom, watching Fondelier busting up in the next room, it did something. It's an interesting thing. Like, it gave me some confidence or some momentum, or I don't know what. But anyway, so we made a bunch of calls from here on Friday. And
I remember back in the day, you used to make your monthly or bimonthly pilgrimage to Las Vegas because you had to make the calls from there. Have they figured out some kind of workaround?
Yeah, they figured out some kind of workaround where it goes into some sort of hub that's in Nevada or something. Right. Whatever it is I told them to do the first time around, and they went, you can't do that. Now they're doing it.
Caught up a decade later?
Yes, that's how it works. So,
when are these new ones set to air?
I don't know.
Like spring, I imagine?
Crank Yankers, the way Crank Yankers worked is, I guess we did about 4 or 5 seasons in the early 2000s. And then it went away, and then it went away for a decade plus, and then Comedy Central did some kind of survey. What show do you guys miss the most? Like, what old-timey show? And, of course, it was Chappelle, and Chappelle wouldn't come back. But the second one – no. The first one was Crank Yankers. Everyone said we miss Crank Yankers. So, God bless Comedy Central – they just went to their audience and went, what do you miss from 20 years ago? And they went, we miss Crank Yankers. So they said, well, let's do another season of Crank Yankers.
That's so great. Question. You've mentioned before that, and I feel you, like, completely. When it comes to prank stuff, you don't totally have the tolerance that you used to. And, like, you didn't really, weren't super into the new Borat and stuff. Did that have any effect on what you were doing in this session?
No, I dove right in and said horrible things and made people as uncomfortable as I could possibly make them, because there's an element of, it seems, I guess it'd be like, you'd say, well, Adam, would you like to film a gay porn? And I would go, no. And then they would go, but you have to film a gay porn. And I'd go, okay. And then they'd go, would you like to do three takes of a gay porn? And I'd go, no, let's just do it in one. So I am going to spread my ass and howl at the, I'm going to bail at the moon, because I want to do one. So
give it your all.
As uncomfortable as it may, there, we've done sessions with nice people, and nice people don't like destroying, you know,
ruining somebody's day,
ruining someone's day who just picks up the phone. But all it means is that call's then no good.
Yeah.
Cause you're kind of half, you know, you can't do a kind of halfway with it. If you go kind of halfway with it, then we're not going to be able to use it. So
that's how you got hurt.
That's right. Brian knows from coaching football. So
go half speed is how you get hurt.
Not only are you kind of wasting the time of the person that picked up the phone, but you're kind of wasting everyone on our side of its time, too, because you're kind of being nice. And you may as well. It's, you know, I guess it's kind of like, you know, putting Old Yeller down or something, like, you know, doing it with a half a pillow is not the way to do it. Just put the
the suffering's prolonged.
Just put the gun to the temple of the dog and squeeze the trigger, or don't do it. But if you're in, do it. 20 episode order, no release date yet, according to Max Zapata. All right, let's see. We got one more. We got Mike August sent me the end of Bill Maher's show, real time on Friday night. He said Bill Maher sort of nailed this sort of new kind of leftist culture. And God bless Bill Maher. See, Bill Maher is intellectually honest in that Bill Maher is a Democrat. Bill Maher would like to see the Democratic Party win as many votes as they can. But Bill Maher doesn't just agree with everything that comes out of the Democratic Party, because
far from it.
He would like them. You know, he's kind of like a football coach. It's like, I would like my team to win, but I'm not going to just back them over every cockamamie play they do and every time they're offsides.
Yeah. And anyone who follows me on Twitter knows that A, I'm a big USC fan, and B, I'm not a big fan of their coaching or their performance these days. You got to be honest. I love the team, but they fucking play like shit sometimes.
Right. And the reason you're being critical is because you're a fan.
You're invested.
I'd like them to play well.
Right. The fan, you know, if you're an Oregon Ducks fan, then you'd like them to just keep playing, you know, stay the course and don't have any criticism. So I'll play you. We think we whacked it down to about 240.
Yeah, but it's a really great piece. It's all on YouTube. It's about 10 minutes long. But here's the gist of it.
Pennsylvania Democrat Connor Lamb says Democratic rhetoric needs to be dialed back. It needs to be rooted in common sense. Thank you. Thank you. There, in my opinion, is the crux of the problem. Democrats too often don't come across as having common sense to a huge swath of Americans. And these are people who believe in QAnon. But as I've said before, politics in this country is binary. You have to wear everything anyone on your side does. Republicans are the party of don't wear masks, kids in cages, lock her up. And Democrats are the party of every hypersensitive social justice warrior woke bullshit story in the news. They're the party that disappears people, or tries to make them apologize for ridiculous things. Anne Hathaway apologized last week because in her new movie she plays a witch, a fictional character that has three claw-like fingers, and that's offensive to people with limb differences. Hey. The week before, the NHL's Arizona Coyotes dropped a player after it came out in the press that when he was in eighth grade, he bullied a disabled kid. Yes, that's a bad thing to do. But are we really going after people for what they did in middle school now? Democrats already lost seats for going after what Brett Kavanaugh did in high school. Common sense. Democrats kept saying in the campaign, you can't possibly think Trump is preferable to what we're selling. And many voters keep saying, yes, we can. In fact, our primary reason voting for him is to create a bulwark against you, because your side thinks silence is violence and looting is not. Because you're the party of chasing speakers off college campuses and making everyone walk on eggshells and replacing let's not see color with let's see it always and everywhere, formerly the position of the Ku Klux Klan. It would be so easy to win elections if we would just drop this shit. Democrats need to listen to our new president-elect's old boss.
This idea of purity and you're never compromised and you're always politically woke and all that stuff, you should get over that quickly.
Quickly, like before they vote in Georgia.
You know, it just popped in my head. You know, I've always kind of said, like, it was sort of insane that Hitler was trying to win World War II, fighting almost every nation on the planet, and then his sidebar was rounding up Jews and building camps. You know what I mean? And I was like, why would you try to do both those things simultaneously? And my feeling is with the Democratic Party, which is just talk about education and the minimum wage and welfare reform and, you know, immigration and all taxes and all that stuff. So why are you doing the third bathroom thing simultaneously? Why are you doing the transgendered puppy thing? Like, why are you doing all these weird sidebar things that less than 2% of Americans care about while you're trying to win? Like, why don't you just stick to the big stuff, win the election, and then we can see about the fifth bathroom? Why are we doing it all? You know, why are we talking about defunding the police? Why not just talk about jobs? Or why not just talk about education? Or why not just talk about the inner city?
Like, choke up on the baton and make contact.
Right. Why are you hobbling yourself talking about shit that isn't popular, except for with a small group of sort of coastal elites?
Well, isn't everyone in that game right now by energizing their base with bullshit on both sides?
Yeah, but
it matters to people. It matters to some people. It doesn't matter, like you're saying, to the swath of the people in your party.
Well, I think here's the problem. Your base. So you take a look at Trump's base. Trump's base wants beefing up border security or less taxes and less regulation or tough on China or whatever. So that's his base. I don't know that the Democratic base cares all that much about defunding the police. I don't think their base really wants that. There's a group that does, but it wouldn't call it their base.
I guess you're right. It's hard to figure out who the base is, what the base means. Because all I think of is the group that chased the mayor of Minneapolis off stage when he wouldn't commit to defunding the police at that rally. So I guess, who is the base?
Well, that is the group that shows up at the rally, but we can't mistake the group who shows up for the rally as the folks that live in Minnesota. The folks that live in Minnesota want a police department.
Yeah, you need a larger base.
The 300 people who show up at the rally don't, although they'll want a police department as well once the crime and the murder and everything goes up. Anyway. All right, let me tell you about Simply Safe. Break-ins on the rise during the holidays. So, Simply Safe is having a huge holiday sale. 30% off any system and a free security camera as well. Whether you're traveling or staying put this holiday season, check out the 30% off plus security camera deal before it ends this week. Simply Safe has been a longtime sponsor of ours. I use Simply Safe. Many people here use Simply Safe. U.S. News and World Report called it the best home security of 2020. CNET, it gets the editor's choice. And Forbes and Popular Mechanics called it the best of 2020 because you get an arsenal of sensors and cameras, and you can set it up yourself in about 30 minutes. It is the best. It's SimpliSafe, right, Dawson?
Get 30% off SimpliSafe plus a free security camera today by visiting simplisafe.com/Adam. Go today. This deal is this week only. That's simplisafe.com/Adam. Simplisafe.com/Adam.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the Damashek, and we'll do that right after this.
Christmas time is here. The halls are decked with boughs of holly, and we're ready to get drunk and fight with our families. Corolla Drinks is here to help. This Christmas, Adam and the gang want to make sure the holiday season stays merry despite this goddamn pandemic. That's why we're offering the Corolla COVID Christmas Combo, which includes a Corolla Christmas t-shirt featuring Adam as anti-masker Santa Claus, a bottle of your choice, and a 2021 calendar filled with pics of the entire ACS staff and signed by the entire ACS staff. The Corolla COVID Christmas Combo is available at CorollaDrinks.com for $49.99. Get it for yourself or the ACS fan in your life. Happy holidays from everyone at Corolla Drinks. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace man, got a rich man, poor man for you, and that is having inherited your furniture.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, that's a good one. Inherit your it's either you have nothing and it's worth nothing, but that's why you got it, or it's valuable. And heirlooms and antiques. Dave Damashek is here. -3 is the name of the podcast as well. Extra points with Cousin Sal as well. And Dave with, Dave's of Thunder. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get the podcast. Good to see you, Sheck.
Ah, oh, what a pleasure, Ace. It's been too long. And hello to Bald and Gene as well. My heart is full. I know that the world outside is a little grim, but hard to complain right now. I think I speak for all of America when I say the Steelers are 9-0 and the US of A is better for it.
Yeah. Now, do you feel like they're a little bit disrespected in that they are the only unbeaten team in the NFL and people sort of have them in the top three or four, but not at number one? You know, there's a few teams that, you know, when you talk to the expert analysis people, they have this team above the, you know, they have this team above the Steelers, but yeah, they're unbeaten. But yet, maybe missing a little respect?
It does feel that way, but you know what? If that's true, good. I don't like being the team that's supposed to win. As we've discussed, it is a curse. It is a plague. The Madden cover people talk about, they used to talk about Sports Illustrated cover. The real curse in the 21st century is being the team that's supposed to win. And it's no fun. Then if you do win, then you're like, oh, yeah, we were supposed to win. Great. So what? Big relief. We didn't lose like we were afraid of. And then if you win, it's and then, you know, if you lose the game, then, you know, then it's devastating and everything else. I like the position where we are. The Chiefs are still everybody's pick to win the Super Bowl. Good. Maybe we'll surprise the world.
I haven't, speaking of Madden, I don't believe I've seen him interviewed or speak into a microphone in a long time. I mean, has it been 4 or 5 years? I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if there's health issues. I don't know how old he is, but Madden was all over the place all the time, and I just have not heard hide nor hair of that guy in 5 years. Do you know anything?
I think he's pro football's, Sean Connery. He may not be the buzz that I hear, the whispers I hear. He's not as devilishly handsome as he was a half decade ago, and Madden is like. I don't want the world to see me not at my, you know, my renowned best, iconic handsome.
Is he
best.
Stricken with something? Does he?
No,
have
I think
something?
He's old. I mean, it's been a while. I think it's been like 10 years now, right? So I don't remember exactly when he hung it up, but I think maybe his last Super Bowl was in fact the Steelers Cardinals one, the Santonio catch. That was a long time ago. Now that's like 11 years or so ago. So, and he was old then. Didn't he feel old back at that point? So yeah, I think he is legitimately, kind of From what I hear, he leads a quiet life these days.
Brian
Madden was a fantastic broadcaster for many, many, many years, underrated even, but he had been losing a step for quite some time. I remember semi-specifically, you guys remember this, in the first Patriots Super Bowl win in 2001, when Tom Brady had the ball with, I don't know, a minute left or something, and he was barking pretty hard, like, oh, you got to play for overtime now. Dude, you got to just play for overtime. I'm like, what are you talking about? You had a minute to get a field goal range.
That's right. That really is. That was right at the edge of the new millennium. Carolla and I were there. Well, Carolla wasn't. He left at halftime. But
we were in New Orleans. Yeah,
we were in New Orleans. That was the apocalyptic visit down there when I had the bad oyster and vomited. I got what I deserved from the football gods. I knew deep down I shouldn't be at that Super Bowl when the Steelers weren't there themselves. But Adam Carolla left me a powerhouse voicemail that convinced me that I did need to be there, that I was required to be there. I went and I paid a severe price, and it's a mistake I shan't make ever again.
So Sheck went to Heinz Field to watch the Steelers play, I guess, the Patriots, right?
It was the Patriots. It was the Dawn. They had done nothing. They're this upstart sophomore quarterback. Wait, who's he? He was the backup at Michigan. Drew Bledsoe's hurt. This guy's got a hot hand. He just won a game in the snow against the Raiders, the Tuck Rule game. The Steelers favored, I think, by like 10.5 or something. We'll make quick work of them. Then it's on to New Orleans for a party to beat the band. Carolla, Kimmel, Sal, Baby Doll Dixon, the whole gang gathering down there to eat oysters and drink hurricanes on the streets of the French Quarter. Then we shall go and vanquish the juggernaut St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, I remember. Well, to be fair to Madden, Brady wasn't Brady back then. Brady was...
he had a pretty marginal game. Like, he had a slightly above average. He wasn't setting the world on fire.
Oh, I know, but so what I'm saying is knowing who Tom Brady is now, you would never say play for OT. Back then, you could almost understand saying play for OT because you have this semi-rookie, unproven, whatever. First off, they should have lost to the Raiders with the Tuck Rule. Like, he really, and he wasn't playing lights out. But, I talked Sheck into coming to New Orleans. Sheck came to New Orleans.
It was the greatest. I know it's anticlimactic to not actually have the voicemail, but I kept it for legitimately 4 or 5 years because it was so marvelous. But it went into a whole thing about like having some perspective. It's like, you're a Steelers fan, but think about it this way. You get to live in Hollywood and you get to work on the Man Show with cool guys like me. You know, you could be a Steelers fan who lives on the outskirts of Pittsburgh. And, you know, you're the assistant manager of your father-in-law's sporting goods store. And, you know, you have three kids, one of whom can't learn. And it just went on and on.
Well, you know what I remember about that phone call? So I wanted Sheck to come to New Orleans and party with us. For some reason, I think Jeff Ross was there, although maybe it's just everyone smoked so much pot. I thought Jeff Ross was there, but I can't.
He just vaporizes when you smoke that much. He just
shows up like Barbara Eden.
You rang.
So Dr. Bombay. So right. I had heard that Sheck wasn't going to party with us in New Orleans because he was so down about the Steelers' loss to the Patriots. And I was driving into Loveline, and it was about 9:30 at night, and I got in my car, and I called Sheck, and I got his message machine, but I had a half-hour drive, and I had no one else to talk to. So once I got his message machine, and once I find out that it doesn't cut you off, you know, some message machines cut you. Once I got to like minute 3.5 and I realized, oh, there is no end to this, I just talked all the way to Westwood One in Culver City and inspired Sheck, and he went and he got horrible food poisoning and almost died.
Well, that's because you were in an era where every time you would see anybody or anything halfway decent happen, you would always say, tickled pink. And the voice message started with, Sheck, tickled brown. That was the start of the 30-minute message. Tickled brown.
So Sheck went, and are we sure you got food poisoning?
I mean, what else happened? I threw up for 7 hours in a row.
I know.
And now somehow, I don't know what this says about the trajectory of my life, but now, all these years later, who am I working with? Cousin Sal, the same person who back then, I wasn't alone in a New Orleans hotel room throwing up my guts. No, I was in a room with Cousin Sal, the greatest, worst mixer on planet Earth. You don't want anything bad going your way when Sal is there. Sal, as I'm throwing up, I'm on my hands and knees, a grown man puking into a strange toilet. Sal is pushing the door down. What's going on in there, Velvel? What's going on in there, Vel?
What's going
what
on?
What are you doing, Velvel? What are you doing the whole time? It really
was
a nightmare.
I remember being in the main, we were in like a suite, and I remember Sal going like, we got to go torture Shaq. And I'm like, he's throwing up.
He's tortured.
You know, he's already tortured. Like, he can't really get more tortured. We should torture Ralphie May. You know, he's not tortured. I don't know why I thought Ralphie may have been there as well.
Gilding the lily to the extreme. Like, he's got food poisoning from a bad oyster, and I gotta make it worse somehow. That's really where Sal shines.
That's really where he shines.
That's the difference between good and great. You know.
So we were talking last week about that news reporter that did the either fuck off or buzz off, depending on what word you say before he says it. If you say buzz, it sounds like buzz. If you say fuck, it sounds like fuck. But we had this clip from my we'll play the thing. But it reminded me because Sheck was with me when I had my fuck off chambered, and I think we have it in the audiobook. First, we'll play the reporter.
President, we're doing this. We're looking. I know about. Buzz off.
Yeah, so he said buzz off or fuck off, but in my book, I don't know if it was not Taco Bell material. Or,
in 50 years.
50 years, my first book, right. Do we have the audio of that?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll play that.
Have a fuck off chambered and ready to go. You're going to encounter a lot of dicks in your life. It's inevitable. One time during the first few weeks of my morning show, I was in the parking lot of Cantor's Deli on my way to get some post-show pastrami. Someone walking by me recognized me and shouted, Howard Stern was better. Without a beat, I shouted, fuck off. It caught the guy by surprise. He started explaining that he was a producer, but before he could finish his pathetic excuse for his behavior, I hit him with a second, go fuck yourself. Then I walked into the deli and enjoyed my lunch. Life is too short to deal with dickheads. These people need to be shamed publicly. And if you're uptight about cursing, then a beat it in the breach is good too.
Yeah, and Sheck was walking right next to me when that guy passed us, if memory serves, right, Sheck?
It was great because you provided the element of surprise. This guy claimed, he announced to you/us that, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. You're like, hey, you're not as good as Howard Stern. And it was just stunning to me at least. But Ace was ready to go, as he said. He had one in the holster ready to go, and he shot it at the guy immediately. Yeah, and he was so shocked by it, he almost flew against the wall of Cantor's. But then he tried to fight back a little bit. No, you don't understand. I'm a producer. Before he could hit that third syllable in producer, Ace gave him another one. This guy, whether he's in show business,
the or one not, too.
Yeah, just walking through the streets of Hollywood, like I guess these celebrities, I think a lot of people imagine they're like zoo animals. Like, they're not real. They're two-dimensional things that we can do what we want to. And Adam Carolla taught that producer a valuable lesson on that day. It was so crazy that the guy, I think it was kind of like my first experience with people feel like, because you put your work into the public space, it's their right to weigh in on it. But if you remove the fact that it's in the public space and just do that with other people in their lives. Hey, oh, good to see you, Gina, your fiance. Oh, you can do a lot better than that. Like, what? Well, who are you? You're a stranger. What are you?
Fuck off.
Yeah, hit him with the fuck off, Gina.
By the way, his I'm a producer is like yelling, I have a I have black friends. You know, it's like right. this weird kind of fallback. He was caught off guard.
Dodge Stratus.
Yeah, I don't know why he said he was a producer. I guess that's like, this is criticism, but it's professional criticism.
Right, from the industry.
Or something. I don't know what it was. But.
This is a critique from a peer, Adam, and I'm trying to help you evolve. So what was in his head that made him think that that would make it all right? That's a great question.
Because I think a lot of people feel like if they get on the offense, the other team must take the defensive side yeah. of the ball. So when then their offense is met with more offense, they get thrown off balance. So we were actually in the parking lot of Cantor
right.
passing him as he walked past us. Yes.
It is that is such a great point. And it is so, for lack of a better word, fun to do that, because I think I'm a really nice person. I think most people would probably agree. And, you know, so people DM me and email me, and I'm truly grateful that they took the time to do it. And if there's a criticism, I'll go, well, when was that? Because I don't remember, whatever. Some dude hit me with the other day. I think I must have interrupted a caller. And he said, do you ever shut the fuck up for, you know, like 2 seconds, or is that beneath you? And usually I'm like, I'm sorry, what are you referring to? And I wrote back, what the fuck is wrong with you? And he went on the and I have it. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. That was really aggressive. That was, I just heard that, and it sounded like you kind of cut off, but maybe you didn't. And then, and I said, well, I hope this is a lesson to you. When he said it was beneath me, I said, I hope it's a lesson to you.
Well, what did he say? What was his first?
I can tell you. In
I think
a hot
Max
second.
Zapata has it somewhere.
No, that's a different
me.
Guy.
Oh, there's, wow.
You a, look, wow. It really is.
You have an army of people that hate you. Interesting.
To speak yeah. your language, Ace, it is kind of like, it's one thing for two even boxers to be going round and round, and one guy catches the other and knocks him down. It's infinitely more satisfying when the one guy is clowning the other guy. Like,
oh,
what
yeah.
are you going to do? And he knocks him out. Like,
yes.
That, this is a victory for all of us. This is a victory for humanity when that happens. I think that's you stunned that guy. He was sticking his chin out at you. Like, what are you going to do about it? And then you knocked him out. He's like, why'd you hit me?
All right. Well, Gina, you'll find point. Your one.
But it's crazy because, like, you know, I say this to people sometimes. I go, you know, Adam, who you look up to, and that's why for some reason you think that you can make jokes or say whatever that he would say, which I have infinite more respect for him. You know how he would say, you will dictate how I treat you. You will dictate this relationship.
Yes.
And whenever I hit him with that, that always seems to make a difference.
So Max Bad, do you have yours from the old one or you have the second round or the second detractor, Gina? Are you looking for it in your
I'm
phone?
I'm looking for it.
Yeah, Gina knows. I've talked about this with Gina as well, the other guy.
There's two.
There's yeah. two.
I'm sure there's a lot more than that, too.
How dare
wow.
you?
Wow, that was an attack.
That was weird. Yeah,
she's, Adam, she's in the meantime, to, before we get too far away from Super Bowl talk, Dave, first of all, big fan.
Oh,
secondly, one of the things I've enjoyed most in your career, your storied career, was your Super Bowl media day question. Your signature question, is this a must-win game? Fucking hilarious. But now that you're not associated with the NFL Network anymore, will there be any more must-win game questions?
I don't know. It's a great. That's a good question, Bald. And I hope so. I hope I get to still do it. By hook or by crook, because there's nothing better that 99% of the coaches. I've asked it to Pete Carroll and Jim Harbaugh.
That's so brilliant.
And Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Tom Brady's one of the very few guys. I think he and Eric Decker from the Broncos are the only two guys that I can think of that ever got that I was kidding around. And Tom Brady was like, is this a must-win game? Like, or what? Like, I don't know. What do you mean, or what? Like, well, what's going to happen if I don't win? I'm like, that's up to you, Tom. How hard are you going to hit? He threw it back in my lap, and I was helpless. Very much like the producer outside of Kansas.
I think we have a montage of Dave asking.
Gina, are you familiar with this bit that Dave does?
He goes. I know this story.
Okay, I didn't know.
I know this story.
So he asked,
Coach, is this a must-win game?
I think so.
You do? Okay. Indomican, is this a must-win game?
Any playoff game is a must-win game.
Is this a must-win game?
A must-win for what? A must-win or what?
Well, I don't know. You come up with the other side. Is it a must-win game, Tom Brady?
I'd love to win. We got to play our best to win. It's going to be tough.
Is this a must-win game?
Oh, of course, of course. You know, we set out for this mission back in fall camp and OTAs, and, you know, we won't stop until we get it.
Is the Super Bowl a must-win game?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
I thought so. Yeah. That was my guess.
I hope
so,
yeah. Yeah.
I figured. Is this a must-win game?
You know, every game's a must-win game.
Is this a must-win game, Hacker?
Of course. Yeah, what kind of question is that?
I thought it was a good one. I thought it was a good question. You guys always talk about that.
So good. People are trying to be polite.
All right, did you
I do
find
have the exchange.
Yes, please.
This is on my food blog, because usually I get like, oh my God, the Minnesota mom is so great or whatever. And then this guy said, sorry to interrupt. Are you still talking? Jesus, when a good caller wants to talk, can you shut up for 2 seconds, or is that beneath you? Which I didn't think was a problem I had to overcome.
I don't recall
And I wrote
that.
Back,
yes.
I wrote back, the fuck?
The fuck?
And he said, the caller talking about chess today. Most callers probably aren't used to being on the radio, and it seemed a little pompous when you told him that you weren't done. Maybe I misinterpreted the whole conversation. I had no idea what he was talking about, but I said, but, you know, Tyler has reached out to us, and, you know, I've like retweeted him and stuff for his chess game. I said, Tyler's been on several times and I've promoted him personally. If you've ever called in before, you've probably noticed that callers can't or don't hear us when we're trying to talk too. Hope that clears things up for you, and that reaching out in a respectful tone next time isn't beneath you.
Can I say this? Go ahead.
He wrote, right. You're right. I shouldn't have worded it like that. You guys have a great show, and part of the magic is that it isn't rehearsed. I apologize for being a jerk, which is what I get every time. Everyone always says, oh, sorry.
Are you guys with me that, you know, when I was growing up, there wasn't enough communication? You know, parents would be like, because I said so. And that was the whole conversation, yeah, you know, because I'm your dad. That's why. Yeah. You know, whatever it is. Now there's too much conversation. Like,
it's on.
Like, the whole deal is like, you need to sit down with your daughter and explain to her why. And it's like, well, how about I just say no? You know what I mean? Like, everything is like, you have to really make everyone understand everything.
And if they don't worry, CNN will do a Sesame Street town hall and explain it for you.
And the conversation kind of begets more conversation that just kind of opens the door to now, but here's how I'm feeling. And now here's how it made me feel hearing about your feelings. And maybe it's all the, you know, the phones and the Twitter and all that kind of stuff, but we're doing a little too much communicating. Like, I know way too much about what people are thinking. And I'm not interested.
It's very true. And, you know, I think we assume, people always think it's about the communication, the parenting, and how you explain. Yeah, but we know that the chances, let's just use me as the middle of the group, representative as a parent. Mm-hmm. Like, am I going to forget key details of the message that the child needs to learn going forward? Of course I am. You know who is airtight with it? Movies. These are smart people. These are wordsmiths, the screenwriters, the great directors. I was raised, as were, I believe, everybody in this conversation right now. We were all raised by TV and movies. Look at us. We're not great, but we're not half bad either.
We're passable.
What would Jesus do? Forget that. What would John McClane do? That's how I try to approach life.
They both were barefoot warriors.
That's right.
I'll tell you that right now. All right, we got the Rotten Tomatoes game to play with Sheck, which is going to be a slice of heaven, as Sheck likes to say. First, I'll tell you about the Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Holidays are hitting soon. Well, we're there, man. Mix up your cocktails with some Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, the ultimate duo, American whiskey and peanut butter flavor. We serve this during the Corolla Digital Christmas party every year, and it's always a fan favorite. Sweet meets savory with light, smooth finish. 70 proof. Enjoy it neat or on the rocks or as a shot if you like as well. And you can replace your usual whiskey and cocktails with Screwball for a whole new experience. You can top it on a scoop of vanilla ice cream, which sounds unbelievable. And it's the ultimate indulgence. Great for date night. Add it to coffee, hot chocolate, eggnog. Ooh, eggnog for a festive treat. It is Screwball peanut butter whiskey. Right, Dawson?
Screwball, the original and most awarded peanut butter whiskey, is now available near you. Pick up Screwball at your local store. Get it delivered today. Ready to hashtag get screwed? Go to screwballwhiskey.com for more info and click on buy now. Please drink responsibly. Advertisement by Screwball Spirits LLC, San Diego, California. Whiskey with natural flavors. 35% alcohol by volume.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the Rotten Tomatoes game and check right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.